Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This morning and tonight, we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses in chapter 2. And we've been going through the book of Ephesians, one of my favorite books. It tells of the spiritual riches of the Christian. We are spiritually rich. First three chapters are doctrine. Last three chapters are duty. It tells us how rich we are in Christ and how to appropriate those riches in our daily walk. Now, we have before us this morning, in verses 1 through 10, probably one of the greatest passages on God's salvation from God's perspective, from the divine side. And I've taught y'all this for 15 years. There are passages that deal with the human side of salvation, when we're called to hear the gospel, repent, and believe, and there are others that deal with the sovereignty of God in salvation. Neither of these doctrines clash. If they clash, it's because man cannot place them in the right perspective. And so tonight, we're looking at this great passage, and you'll need to come back tonight because I'm going to leave you depressed what you were before you met Christ, or Christ met you. And we're going to be looking at salvation, man's lost condition, past, present, and future, our salvation. And so there's three divisions that we're going to be looking at today. Today, we're going to look at the first one, what we were before we got saved, in verses 1 through 3. And if you say, well, that's not me, well, that's not what the Bible says, right? And tonight we're going to be looking at what God did. He took us out of the depth of our depravity and seated us in the heavenlies. And we'll also be looking at why God did it. Those three things: what we were, what God did, and why He did it. And so this morning we're going to look at what we were. So if you will, stand in honor of God's word, we're going to be reading the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2. After telling us about our spiritual riches from the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and after Paul told us about praying for the spiritual, elevating our prayer life, now he's going to begin to talk about salvation. And you hath he quickened. That word means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now tonight you want to come back and hear that first two words in verse 4, but God. Amen? Amen? But God. That means that there's a contrast. That means that God made an intervention. And we'll look at that tonight. Father, I pray as we open this text, you open our hearts, that we'll much more appreciate where you brought us from. Lord, it's not just like we just came to church and we assimilated into the body of Christ and we decided we'll make Jesus an add-on in our life. There's a lot more to that. And we were dead, and you quickened us and made us alive. So speak to us today. If there's one here today without Christ, I pray today will be the day they understand they need to repent of their sins and they need to place their faith in Christ alone for salvation. Not by human merit, not by human works, or nothing like that. It's totally by the grace of God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. And I did that. Go ahead and be seated. Is this water fresh, brother?
Yeah.
I'm still got a frog in my throat from my PNP. No, PND. What does that stand for? Postnasal drip, yeah. And it's going to get me here a little bit, but we'll hang on there. What we were. Notice five pre-conversion traits of a lost man. Number one, what we were, verse 1, we were dead in sins. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Man is born spiritually dead, separated from God. Not because he is not dead because he sins. He sins because he's dead. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, where it all started. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man died spiritually at that moment in the Garden of Eden. Now he began to die physically, and from then on, man's length of his lifespan got shorter and shorter. But he died spiritually at that moment. We can all blame it on Adam if you want to. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned." Mankind fell with the first man in sin. And you, when you were born, though you were a beautiful little baby, I'm sure, you had transferred to your account the sin nature of Adam. It came from Adam, even though Eve sinned first. It comes from the man, okay? And I'm not going to go into all that about why. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Suffering and sickness came into the world because of sin, right? It may not necessarily mean that you particularly sin, although it may be God's chastening work in your life, but you get sick and you die because of sin came into the world, right? You can't get past that. So we were dead in sins. We were dead to God and the things of God, also in verse 1. We were dead to spiritual life, truth and righteousness, inner peace and happiness. Man was born not right with God. I often hear people, and you can know where they're at spiritually when you try to witness to them, they said, "Me and the man upstairs got it all right." No. That's not the way it works, dear one, right? You got to come to God on his terms, right? And by the way, he's not the man upstairs. That's blasphemy. He's not the man upstairs. He is the Jehovah, omnipotent creator God. Amen? We were dead. Before I got saved, man, I had no desire to come to church. You know, I'd rather go play ball on Sundays with the other guys. I had no desire for the things of God. I mean, I was dead. And I use this illustration often. You go down to the funeral home, and you go in for the visitation, and you run up there to the casket, and you can prick that dead body with a pin all you want to, but it's not going to move, right? It does not feel physical stimuli. And before I got saved, I did not feel spiritual stimuli. I would go to church, maybe, and something would be happening. I didn't know what it was happening, you know. The other people were rejoicing, whatever it was happening. And I didn't really know at that point what was happening. And I was wondering, why are they so happy about it, you know. And it didn't even touch me whatsoever. Why? Because I was dead. It's called the doctrine of total depravity. Not only are we dead, we can't initiate life. Dead men can't make themselves rise. We have no desire or capacity to respond to God or come to God. John chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin," talking about the Holy Spirit, "of sin because they believe not on me." See, people don't go to hell because they sin. They go to hell because they don't know Jesus, right? Are you with me? Now, we were dead by nature, 1 Corinthians 2:14. We were dead by a satanic reason. We're blinded by Satan, right? He wants to keep lost people blind. But then also we were separated from God, Romans 3:23, no matter, and you know what it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Always come short. Man always comes short, right? No matter how much man works, no matter how much man tries to be good, we're going to always fall short of God's standard of holiness. This is why we need Christ, folks. It's not our holiness that sends us to heaven, it's the holiness of Christ, right? We always come short because we live in this flesh. We couldn't keep the law, right? Law can't save you. We're talking about that Wednesday night. It's not that the law is not holy and perfect and righteous. It's the fact that we're in this sin nature. We're in this flesh. And we couldn't keep the law. And by the way, if you could earn salvation by keeping every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law, guess what? When you got it, you lose it because you'd violate it, right? And it's just impossible. We go to heaven by his righteousness, right? So we were dead. But then secondly, in verse 2, we were deluded. Look in verse 2. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were deluded. A lost man walks in the domain of the world. See, lost people don't know they're lost, right? Are you with me? That's why we need to share the gospel with them, so the Holy Spirit can convict them of their lostness. And here the world, of course, refers to the world system with its values and its way of doing things apart from God. I mean, you've been around the block. You know the world hates God, right? They got a little Bible study in the White House right now. And you heard the commotion that people got up about that? All the atheists come out of the woodwork. Separation of church and state. And they're having a Bible study. It's not mandatory. You can go if you want to. By the way, it's not freedom from religion. It's the freedom of religion, right? And I'm glad we got a Bible study in the White House. We need to have one in the Supreme Court, and we need to have one in the Congress, and we need to have one everywhere else, right? But first of all, you got to have a good Bible teacher that's rightly going to interpret the Word of God. By the way, and I've said this before, I wondered why these atheists get all upset about things like this. If there's no God, don't worry about it, right? Why are you trying? The very fact that they're fighting against it, no, they know in their heart there's a God, and they suppress the truth for a lie. If Satan follows the world system. And I would say this to our young people today. In this world, we have two cultures. We have the biblical view and the worldview. We have the Christian worldview, and we have that of the secular humanist view. And before we got saved, we walked in the spirit of the age. That's what it's talking about, after the course of this world, according to the course of this world. And as you get out, and I want y'all to listen to me, as you get out and get out from under your parents, you're going to go out there to a world that does not love God, okay? You're sheltered right now, okay, in your family and in your church. But when you get out there and get out there into the world system, the institutions of arts and movies and sports and fashion and this, that, and the other, them folks don't love God. So I want to tell you, don't be shocked when they don't receive you, okay? But you keep on living for Christ, amen, and living in the kingdom that he's placed you in. The course of this world here means an age or a certain spirit or attitude. We live in a world that displays hostility toward God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that classic passage, Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we're talking about being deluded. A lost man serves under the direction of Satan. And Satan is the ruler of this system. Well, it goes all the way back to Cain in the Bible. Not all unbelievers are indwelt by a demon, as some actually teach that, but they are under Satan's influence. And they hold the same interests, philosophies, and values and beliefs, and put these before God, and they think they're like the world. It's beyond me why anybody would think that abortion is the mother's choice. Amen? It is murder, right? But when you're in the world, you can't see these things. You think you're just exercising your right to do something with your body, and that's your right. But when you get saved, and that's what puzzles me even more, there are people that claim to know Christ and yet believe in abortion. I mean, I hope I do offend you this morning. Because you can't believe those two things, right? I remember back when it was 2008. And I try not to get too political unless I get in the flesh. And I might get in the flesh right here. But back in 2008 when the Democratic Party had a platform. And you know what their platform was, right? John MacArthur, one of the preachers I like, and I listened to him, said that never before in America has a political party had Romans 1 as their platform. Amen. Think about that. Did I get an amen there?
Amen.
Oh, man. Disobedient, falling after the things of this world, falling after the lust of the flesh, thinking the same way, having the same values, same philosophies, same beliefs as the world. And if you and the world are going in the wrong same direction, you're going in the wrong way, right? And so not only were we dead, not only were we deluded, but thirdly in verse 2, we were disobedient. Notice the latter part of verse 2. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. By the way, let me inject this here. The prince of the power of the air. You ever wonder why Satan works through music? The prince of the power of the air, right? And that's one of his greatest tools. And he says here, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were disobedient. Man is born selfish, and he's driven to fulfill the natural desires of the flesh. We were sons of the disobedient one, Satan himself. And as such, man makes deliberate choices that defy God's will and God's way. And he walks contrary to the teachings of God. I want to say something right here. You know, we don't understand it when we see the Jude Hospital commercials come on TV, right? Boy, little children with terminal illnesses, it saddens our heart, does it not? And if you go to a hospital and you go down the cancer ward in a children's hospital, I mean, you know, why, God? Why is this? Well, you know, unless you have the Bible as a foundation, you're not going to understand what I'm about to tell you, right? It's not that those children, it's not that God is punishing those children. But listen to me, we were all born after Adam. We were all born in our sin. And the curse is upon even little infants and children as well, right? And so they are suffering the consequences of the fall. That's just the way it is. That's what God said it was, right? Not that God is punishing children. And if you're here today and you said, you know, I don't understand this, God. Well, you don't understand the fall, how traumatic the fall was. Even little babies are under the curse of the fall, right? And I just wanted to inject that there. In Adam, all die, right? In Christ, all live. So not only were we disobedient, but number four, we were defiled. Look in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before we were saved, we were controlled by our natural desires, the lust of the flesh. By the way, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all this, you see, goes all the way back to Genesis 3. That's how Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? And that's how he still works today. He disguises it differently. But man without restraint, and y'all know this, man, when the restraints are lifted, man will always gravitate to the lowest ebb. Katrina, right? The riots, right? Man without, I am proud for our law enforcement. I saw a law enforcement tag the other day on a police officer's car, and it was a thin blue line. They are the thin blue line between anarchy and a peaceful society, right? And I'm telling you, without restraint of the Holy Spirit and the church and the police and the law enforcement and the laws of our land, we would be in total chaos right now, like it's going to be after the rapture, right? Thank God for the thin blue line, because man left to his own desires with no restraints will always go to the lowest level. Man, I mentioned it before, but it was the funniest thing to me to watch the news and watch Katrina and people with floodwaters up above their waist walking out of stores with big screen TVs. What were they going to do with them? Where were they going to plug them in? I hope they weren't stupid enough to think they could plug it into a light socket. Right? And maybe some of them did. That's why they got the purple hair. I don't know. Man will always gravitate to his base nature. Okay? So that's what we were. Unless we were come to Christ, we have no restraint in our life. And by the way, don't be so haunting when you think, you'd say, I'd never do that. Folks, you have Adam's nature now, right? And praise God for the Holy Spirit. It acts as a restrainer, right? And then lastly, what were we like? Well, we were doomed. In verse 3, latter part of verse 3. He says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Unless we're reconciled to God through Christ, every person by his nature is object of God's wrath. God's wrath was upon you, right? Paul talked about it this way, those who are perishing. You don't perish when you get to hell. You are in the process of perishing, right? If you don't know Christ. And y'all know my big beef about the sign that's on the electronic billboard on Highway 19 from a local off-the-wall church. It says, God is not mad with you. Then people don't know their theology, right? Because the wrath of God abides upon them, right? But if you go to that church, you'll find out, hey, well, God maybe is not mad at me, you know? Because they make you feel good on your way to hell. I'm just being honest with you today, okay? God's wrath is upon me before I came to Christ, right? And that's what it's, man is condemned to hell by his nature, not his sins. He is a dead sinner. Someone said we're not liars because we lie, but we lie because we are sinners, right? So what are we talking about today? Our past condition, we were without Christ, without God, without hope. We were sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. We were dead, deluded, disobedient, defiled, and doomed. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? But you come back tonight. We were spiritually dead and on our way to hell, but God. In verse 4, do you see it? But God, amen? God intervened, and now we've been made alive, right? And everything I told you about what we were like in Christ is the opposite of what we are now, right? Praise God for the but God. Father, this morning, as we preached your word, we tried not to water it down. We tried not to explain it away. Lord, there are so many to get in the pulpits today and said, this text says this, but let me give you a new enlightened approach to it. Lord, the text says what it says, and God means what he means. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for intervening in our life and snatching us out of the pits and the fires of hell and giving us the gift of eternal life. We thank you for that, Father. Maybe there may be one here today that wants to come forward and say, you know, I want to repent of my sins. I want to place my faith in Christ alone for salvation. I've never been in church, maybe. I've never heard nothing like this. But what you're hearing is the truth. You're not going to be saved by your good works. You're not going to be saved by your good looks. You're not going to be saved by human merit. It's not by human achievement. It's by divine achievement. It's by grace through faith. And the only one that can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no mediator between God and man except the man Christ Jesus. Maybe today you want to come and say, you know, I want to confess Christ as my Lord and Savior. It might be that you want to be baptized. Maybe you're saved, but you've never been obedient in water baptism. Maybe you want to unite with this church where you can serve and worship and others can serve and worship you. Whatever it might be, we invite you to come in just a few moments and do so. Thank you for blessing us with the 11 people that recently you brought our way. And we appreciate that. And thank you for that. And thank you for the statements of faith and the professions of faith and those that are going to be baptized next week. Thank you for your hand upon us right now, Lord. May we not take it too lightly. So we give this service to you. We pray you work everything according to your sovereign will. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.